Acts 7:53. Now this is Stephen before they stoned him, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. So the angels were instrumental in the giving of the law, and therefore the Jews held the law and angels in very high regard. But the apostle here, to establish the faith, is going to show that Christ is better than both the law and the angels. Being made so much better than the angel, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, and that name is the Son of God. As the Son of God, he is God, and he is all that God is in his own person. There's nothing in the Father or the Holy Spirit that's not in God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time? He never said this to any angel at any time. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And that's in Psalm 2, verse 7. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to my son. That is quoted from 2 Samuel 7:14 for the first statement of the covenant, everlasting covenant of grace. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, let the angels of God worship him. The greater is worshipped of the lesser. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers flame of fire. Now, so in that verse 7, he shows that the angels are created servants of the Most High. But the Son is his natural Son. He's God. Now in verse 8, he goes on with his proof of Christ's superiority over the angels. We'll give this a look here. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to the which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to these that shall be heirs of salvation? Now, go back up to verse 8, where he says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Well, who's he talking to now? Who's speaking, and who's he speaking to? This is God the Father speaking to God the Son. Now, in John 1:14, he said, and the Word. Well, in John 1:1, he said, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then in verse 14 he says, and the Word, or the Son of God, was made flesh. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He was made flesh, or he bound together his Godhead into one with our humanity in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took humanity into union with himself. God the Son did that. Now, I don't know how he did it. I don't completely understand it, but I can believe it. by the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to believe that. I believe that He is God and man in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did that in order to be one with us, humanity. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of His body. Now we, there is the church. You can gather that from looking back at Ephesians 1:1, to whom were the address is given to the church of God at Ephesus. For we are the members of His body, and the His there is referring to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Look at 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29. 1 Corinthians 12, 29. I'm sorry, it's verse 27. And before we read that, I'd like to look back up at verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ, Christ mystical, as the head united to the body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now in verse 27 he says, now ye, or believers, are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Amen. Now it doesn't matter where you're at in the body, where you're a toenail, or the eyeball, you're still a member of Christ. We don't all have the same office. We don't all have the same attainments, the same gifts. But we're all of the same body. And it, to everyone, regardless of their gifts, it's by grace. Amen. It's a free gift. It's nothing any of us earned or merited or had anything at all whatsoever to do with gaining. It is by the free gift of God, and it is according to His own will and purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. All right. Now let's go back over to Hebrews. So our Lord Jesus Christ is one person with two natures. He's the God-man. And he stands in that nature in office toward us. He's not here as a private person to do things off on his separately. But He is here as the fulfiller of the everlasting covenant of grace. And that's the reason He said, I can of mine own self do nothing but what I have seen of the Father, that I speak and do. He's not here to do anything as a private individual, but as He stands in office toward the members of His body, the church. Now, when He's here in verse 8, He says, but unto the Son He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. This is the Father speaking to the Son, and He's speaking to the Son in the person of the mediator, in His mediatorial office. Now, in office, in His office, He was set up in His offices, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. He was set up in those offices from all eternity. Proverbs 8:22-31, the Lord Jesus Christ has shown that He was set up from everlasting. And that in his office, he's in covenant. He's the covenant of the people. Isaiah 42:6 and 49:8. I will give him for a covenant of the people. In that covenant is everything pertaining to the life and peace of the church, and it is all bound up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mediator of the covenant, and it is in the hands of the mediator to bring about all the stipulations of the covenant. All of the good pleasure and all the good purpose of God toward His people is in that covenant and is all bound up in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The giving out of the goodness of that covenant is dependent upon His success in His office.
Amen.
And He said John 17:4, I have finished the work that Thou gavest me to do. I have glorified Thy name in the earth. I have finished the work that Thou gavest me to do. And then He gave Himself to crucifixion as according to the stipulations of the covenant. And He, with the Father and the Spirit, raised His humanity from the dead. I have power to lay my life down. And I have power again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And then He sat down on the right hand of the Father. And in sitting down in the throne of God, God the Father gave His nod. Said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with your work for your people in the office that I appointed you. So here, this is God the Father speaking to His Son in His humanity as God-man mediator. He owns Him to be God. Look at Acts 20:28. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto thyself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Who purchased it? God did. What with? His blood. John 4:24, God in His essential essence has no blood. He's a spirit. God is a spirit, and seeketh such to worship Him as do worship Him in spirit and in truth. He is a perfect immaterial spirit, has no blood, body parts, or passions. But our Lord Jesus Christ, in order to shed His blood, joined His deity to our humanity. God married His church in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He joined humanity to deity in His person. And so the Lord says, as I live, as long as I live, ye shall live also. He is our life. Alright, so He's better than angels. None of the angels are God. They're all the servants of God. They stand waiting to do His will. But He's the Son of God. He's one with the Father. And in his Godhead, He's equal with the Father. In His Godhead, He has no God. But as man and mediator, God the Father is His God. But unto the Son, in His office of mediation, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Now look back at Psalm 45:6-7. Psalm 45, 6 and 7. Thy throne, O God. Now, so we can see from this that it's not only in the New Testament that Christ is spoken to as man and mediator, but also in the Old Testament. God calleth the things that are not as yet in time as though they were. Now, we all had our first being in the will of God. We all had our first being in the entirety of us in the will of God. There has to be a foundation for everything, and everything finds its first cause in the will of God. So God speaks to Christ in covenant for His people and His people as considered in Him as a done deal. As a done deal. In the mind of God, it's all finished. In the mind, will, counsel, purpose, and covenant of God, it was all finished before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And so, he says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. There's another place I wanted to go there, but it's left me right now. We may come back to it. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1 again. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. Now a scepter is the symbol of rule and sovereignty of His reign. And in the kingdom of Christ, it's a right scepter. He rules rightly. He does what's right in every case at all times. The scepter of His kingdom is a right scepter. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, speaking to the same person, even Thy God, and He is His God as Christ is man and mediator, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. Who do you suppose the fellows are there? Well, it's not the angels. But He's bringing many. Many sons to glory by His shed blood. Look at Hebrews 2:10. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's His fellows. And who's that? That's the members of His body. That's those who are bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, one in humanity with Him. Both He that sanctifies and all they who are sanctified are all of one. Look down at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, this is 2:14. For as much then as the children are made partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, notice who are made partakers of flesh and blood. It's the children of the covenant. They are made partakers of flesh and blood. They were known in the covenant from all eternity, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. And their children, they are predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And those children were made partaker of flesh and blood. They were born into this world in human nature. And because of that, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to those children who are His brethren. Look at verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels. This is Hebrews 2:16. But He took on Him as man and mediator the seed of Abraham. And who's that? That's all who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world and given to Him as His seed. All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That's believers. look at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13. Now this is the Father speaking. And He says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. The Lord Jesus Christ has His fellow in God the Father. And He has His fellows in the members of His body. Against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and his fellows, or the sheep, shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. Well, yeah, we can go to chapter 3 and then we'll go back to chapter 1. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We're the sons of God. We're the children of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not when we're glorified in glorified flesh, but now, right now, believers are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There was one other place I wanted to go to demonstrate our fellowship. Oh yeah, 1 John 1:3. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now this is the Apostle John, who was one of the 12, who walked and talked and slept and eat and drank and lived with the Lord Jesus Christ while He's here upon earth. And He says here, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Thou hast anointed him with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in, look at this, in unity. Our union's in Christ, is with Christ and in Christ. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life, forevermore. Now it's a picture of the anointing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure, and it's running down to the skirts of His garment, is the picture of the anointing of His flesh and of His bones, His people. We have the same anointing. We have the Spirit given by measure. He had it without measure. All right. So the oil of gladness is that with which He was anointed, which we are anointed. He without measure, we in measure. Now look at verse 10. And thou, Lord, another... God acknowledging this man and mediator as Lord and Creator. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Somebody might say, well, how did the Lord Jesus create the heavens and earth, and how is creation ascribed to Him when He didn't have a body yet? Look at Ephesians 3:9. Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which hath been from the beginning of the world hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. For by Him, that is Christ Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And thou, Lord, back to Hebrews 1, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Now, that's taken from Psalm 104. But how is it that Christ was Creator before He took into union with Himself that human body? It is. Look at Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Now this is wisdom personified as this Jesus Christ personified as wisdom. I was set up from everlasting. Now that's in all His offices toward His people, in the covenant of grace, which covenant He is in His person as God-man mediator. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ere the earth was, when there was no depth I was brought forth, when there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet there was not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the worlds. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the foundations of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandments, when He appointed the foundation of the earth, I was there by Him. As one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. That's our mediator, our creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity. He inhabiteth eternity. Now, to inhabit eternity is to be in eternity. And to have all of eternity past, all of eternity future, and all of time unfolded you in the ever-present now. That's where God dwells. Eternity past, old eternity, eternity future, all of time before Him at once. He inhabiteth eternity. We can't comprehend such a being, nor can we comprehend one as is given in Psalm 33:6, where He said, He spoke and it was done. He commanded and the earth stood fast. God is so incomprehensible to any created intelligence that if He ever were, did become comprehensible, it wouldn't be our God. His ways are past finding out. He's not somebody that we can understand. We cannot understand our God. But by His Spirit, we can believe Him. We can trust Him. We can look to Him for all things, because He is God. And He's our God. And our God is a man of war. He's at war with the enemies of His people.
as to them, he's the shepherd of the sheep. He protects them, feeds them, loves them, provides for them. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And his blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 1. And thou, Lord, same person, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing in covenant with all his seed and bones and members in him, in the presence of the Father, created this stage upon the drama, upon which the dramata of redemption is set forth. That's what all this earth, all this vast universe is all about, is God calling his elect out of nothing. Giving us a being it had to be, was known unto God are all his works from the beginning of, from the foundation of the world. He knew each of his people in Christ Jesus before he laid the first brick in the fabrication of this universe. Alright, let's move on. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. That's still speaking of the Lord Jesus. They shall perish, but thou remainest. Turn over to Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our mediator has always been our mediator. Never a time when he wasn't, and when we wasn't beloved of God in him. Look at Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And he wasn't talking about natural Jacob. He was talking about the seed of Israel. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified in glory. Turn to the book of James. Verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. What he has covenanted in Jesus Christ in his blood and righteousness will absolutely never change. All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth the garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, our Lord Jesus Christ, and thy ears shall not fail. I know that you ladies have found a garment that was ripped or torn or worn out or
smudged some way so it was no further use, and you fold it up to dispose of it. This earth, someday the Lord Jesus Christ will fold it up. It'll not be annihilated. It'll be renovated by fire. But He'll fold it up for that purpose. But He'll always be the Lord Jesus Christ and one with His people. Call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sin.
Amen.
He's going to get the job done. He ain't trying. He ain't want to.
Amen.
He is the Savior of His people.
Amen.
But to which of the angels said He at any time, "Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Never said that to any of the angels. He only said that to His Son in the 110th Psalm. The Lord said to my Lord. God the Father said to God the Son again in His office, in His mediatorial office, in His humanity. There's a man this hour seated in the throne of God.
Amen.
See how far He has elevated our nature above the angels. Seated in the throne is our brother. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. But the which of the angels said at any time, "Sit on thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits, servants of God, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Not that they might be or may be, if they'll do this or if they'll do that. But who shall certainly be? The Lord Jesus Christ never came into this world to make salvation a possibility for anybody. He came into this world to make it an absolute certainty to His people.
Amen.
Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I'd like to go to three more scriptures and then I'll close. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 42. Well, Jerry, I was glad this morning whenever you mentioned fellows. This morning in your introductory, because I knew I was in the right place. Isaiah 40. No, Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Man and mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, called him in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee. Now look at this. And will give thee for a covenant of the people. For a light of the Gentiles. Now turn on over to Isaiah 49, verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ is the covenant. Now turn to that last place, Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. How can we know that we have interest in that covenant? Well, there's one way, and that is if you have received the Holy Ghost. Well, that leads to another question. How can you know whether or not you received the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If you know that secret that this world does not know, though it's openly proclaimed, written, but the world don't know it. They don't have an ear to hear it, no eye to see it, no heart to understand it. But His people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can believe that Jesus is Lord, that's a mark, or that's evidence to you that God has loved you from everlasting. Written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Sent His Son to recover you from sin and death, and He got the job done. Amen. Now, I'm going to go one more place and I quit. I'm going to go to John chapter 17, verse 23. You folks are going to say, well, there's another one of them lying preachers. All the time say, he's going to quit. John 17:23. Now he's talking about his people here, who are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, one with him in the covenant of grace. He says, I in them, and thou in me. That's where his people meet God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that's in Christ, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen.